after the hour. It has been a busy one here, Colfax. Very, very busy one. Nuggets, trade news. I'll be real honest. We did the Lonzo Ball thing yesterday, and this morning's poll question was going to be, who would you rather have, Lonzo Ball or Aaron Gordon? But before I could even get going today, they announced they were going to get JaVale McGee, and I thought, well, is that it? And then Aaron Gordon. I didn't think the Nuggets were going to be buyers. I didn't think they were going to do much. You know, but especially last night. Wow. Playing the Raptors, and again, I spaced this, but Toronto's playing in Tampa. I just completely forgot about that. And as I'm watching, I was confused. Oh, that's right. That's right. Because the COVID. That's right. So that was awful. Back to back. Will Barton looked terrible. So then part of me said, man, maybe they are at that point. Do you recall, and we're going to get Chris on here, hopefully, and I'm not going to press him or anything about this because we know his position. But I asked him last week, you know, what's the status on Gary Harris? When's he coming back? That was more of a, nobody really knows. It went from he's hurt to nobody really knows. Were they just kind of like holding him out, saying, hey, this is what's going to happen? You know, you don't really fit in the rotation at this stage and the way we're going to do this. So we're going to move on. Gary's one of the good ones. Trust me. I love the guy. But it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. I think the sentiment throughout the state, too, is that, you know, Gary got this thing going. You know, Brandon Ewing of Denver Stiffs, who we've had on this program, wrote a nice piece this morning kind of saying, hey, through thick and thin, it was always Gary Harris. You knew no matter what the roster looked like, it was Gary Harris. Well, Colfax, I'm here to tell you that was the problem. That was a problem. Denver made a tough move today. Tim Connelly, Calvin Booth, made tough moves today. Not with Hartenstein, not with the draft picks, with Gary Harris. But this is what you have to do. Now, the Nuggets, I would say this, Colfax, they're not extremely active on trade deadline. Really, really since Carmelo. They haven't been. They're very loyal to their players for the most part. They're pretty loyal, you know, to their key players. Gary would still be considered a key player, even though he was on the bench. He was still a starter when he was healthy. He was still a starter when he was healthy. Denver made a better move for Nikola Jokic today. You know, we did the whole minute video, which we got another one coming out later this week. We did a whole minute video about, you better treat Joker right. You don't want to turn out like Nolan Arenado. And I know that was extreme, and Hooligans freaked out on me, which is nothing new. But you do want to be careful here. A lot of diehard reporters in Denver will tell you, Nikola Jokic loves it here. He's never going anywhere. Well, he's going to win an MVP. You know, when he goes to all these all-star games, when does it become, all right, the only thing I left to do is win a championship, and is Denver going to equip me with the right team to do that? So it's all well and good right now, but come contract year, could you see yourself getting into a Nolan Arenado situation where it's like, all right, I'll sign, and then he signs, and then it's, whoa, you're not doing anything. This was the Nuggets saying, hey, we have the best player in the NBA. They do. We can argue all day long, but Nikola Jokic is the best player in the NBA. The guy doesn't even have to try, and he falls over a triple-double. And, I mean, you're constantly going to get the numbers from him. There's no more question about whether or not he wants to win this way, whatever. He had a double-double last night in an atrocious basketball game. But what's the rest going to do? Okay, Porter's starting to get consistently to that point where he's going 19, 20 points a game. Jamal Murray's finally kind of stabilizing right now. I don't know if he's going to be a 50-point. I don't know if he's going to be a 15-point. But he's stabilizing, getting you 20. But is that going to be enough? This was the move, man. Hartenstein averaging about 5 minutes per game. You know, I don't know. 4 or 5 points per game. I mean, looking at his numbers right now, Colfax, and I mean, it's not. So that wasn't the loss. You're going to talk about the draft picks. You know, the JaVale McGee thing was easy because those are 2 second round picks that are, one's protected, one's not. One's 2023, one's 2027. I don't want to think about that. This is a window. This is what you call a championship window, folks. You're not thinking it of 5 years down the road. And I know that's the Elway, plan A, plan B. This team has never won a championship. This is the window. It's time to do what it takes. Get aggressive. Denver's been pretty non-aggressive the last 5-6 years. And they didn't need to be. This was the year. Because why, Colfax? At the beginning of the season, well, before the beginning, the offseason, we thought Jeremy Grant's coming back. Well, Jermichael Green has had his moments, but he has not proved to be the replacement for Jeremy Grant. So that was a big thing. Then we thought, all right, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray are going to each take the next step. Have they? Has Michael Porter Jr. taken the next step? He probably has. But it's more like a half step. Like not the, you know when you're walking and you're trying to avoid stepping on the cracks and you got to like shuffle real quick so you can keep that rhythm? This is a shuffle step that we have with Porter. Shuffle step. Still going forward. He's still moving up, but it's not a big step. Jamal Murray, did he take a step forward? Did he take a step backward? Or is he somewhere in between?
I feel like he's standing still.
Kind of.
And I don't want to say that.
He's had the last 20 games have been different, more consistent, but you know, when you see 50-point games in a playoff bubble, don't you start to expect 25, 27, more often than not, you're looking at 30. So, and I know, you got Holigan's freaking out again. Brady hates Jamal Murray. He's so rough on Jamal. Putting pressure on a guy that I think could be great. Sorry. Sorry that I want to see a championship in Denver. So those were the things that happened. You didn't get Jeremy Grant. Fail. Right? Loss. Porter Jr.'s shuffle stepping. It's taken a little bit, though. Jamal Murray, sitting still. Not really bad, but not really superstar yet. So the things you needed to happen haven't necessarily happened by the trade deadline. So Denver had to sit back and assess the situation. What are we missing? Well, we're not going to blame Jamal Murray. We're not going to blame Michael Porter Jr. They're just not doing enough to make up for these weaknesses that we have, right? And the weaknesses that you have, you don't have strong interior defense. You don't have shot blockers. Well, folks, now you have shot blockers. Now you have guys that are going to... I mean, JaVale McGee was averaging 2.5 blocks per game. And he was, you know, he's getting about 15 minutes. This guy, listen, JaVale McGee's at a point in his career. He's not, you know, he's not a game changer, but he's putting together valuable minutes. And then what you traded for Aaron Gordon, probably a little steeper, right? You lose Gary Harris. You lose RJ Hampton, which is the biggest story of this, is you're losing RJ Hampton, who you thought was probably going to be a big-time player. Gordon is averaging 14 points per game, about 7 boards per game, 4 assists per game. Not a good free throw shooter. Doesn't matter. He was putting together a preseason. He averages about a block per game, but still stronger defense there. So now you just got better there. What's that starting lineup going to look like? These are big moves, folks. These are absolutely big moves. How will they fit? How is this going to look? I'm guessing it's going to go like this, Colfax. Jamal Murray at the 1. Nothing changes there. Now, you keep Will Barton at 2. And then, depending on how you want to play this, Gordon and Porter, you're going to go big there. Do you start both? Yeah, you probably do. Joker at 5. But Porter did not. I had a texter this morning already before the show hit. How does this impact MPJ? I don't think it does. I mean, it impacts him in a positive light, but it doesn't. He's not moving to the bench. You're going to go. It's a pretty big lineup, wouldn't you say? Joker, Gordon, Porter, Barton, Jamal. And then you got Paul Millsap coming off the bench. JaVale McGee coming off the bench. JaVale's day-to-day, by the way, but Monte Morris coming off the bench. I like your bench. Suddenly your bench got a little bit stronger as far as big men. Scorers, well, you didn't lose anything. I mean, RJ Hampton wasn't getting the minutes anyway once you were starting to get healthier. But yeah, Faku Campazzo, you're going to be leaning on a little more. Scorers, that's going to be a tough spot. You know, but you can rely on Paul Millsap to come in and play good defense. Your defensive interchange here with the second unit got better, Millsap and JaVale. Didn't necessarily get better as far as scoring off the bench, but there's going to be combinations when Monte Morris gets back where they definitely go Jamal Murray and Morris starting, Barton coming off the bench. So that's to me what it's going to look like. because, you know, Gordon is listed. What is Gordon listed as? He's listed technically, forward's a forward in this day and age. But he's technically listed, okay, he's listed as a power forward and small forward. So technically that's what you would argue that Michael Porter Jr. is. Because he can play both. Listen, you can't get too caught up on the positions now. Will it work together? Will this work? And I honestly think, man, this is the move Nuggets fans have been talking about for a while now. I didn't know. I didn't think this team was. I thought they were going to sit still, try to run it back and see what they could do. But here we are. And you got a guy in Gordon that's averaging about 15 points per game. You upgraded big time. JaVale McGee, you upgraded. Was this a championship move? If you thought the Nuggets had a shot before this, don't you feel like they have a really good shot now? First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to 970-478-1301. Other teams are making moves, too. It's a crazy, crazy day. A lot of stuff happening, man, when you look at all these updates coming in. Toronto's making they're making a bunch of major moves, too, sending Norman Powell to the Blazers in exchange for Gary Trent and Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood was a guy that really hurt the Nuggets a few years back, if you remember. Sixers are acquiring George Hill from the Thunder. I mean, it's nuts, my man, but the Nuggets certainly, this is one of the bigger stories at this stage, is the fact that the Nuggets got Aaron Gordon. This is probably the biggest story in free agency today, wouldn't you say? Top story about what the Magic are doing. Other key names. Well, yeah, when the other name we're looking at too, LaMarcus Aldridge. What's going to happen there? I kind of thought maybe the Nuggets would be a player there, but I think the Nuggets got better today. I think they got a lot better. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day before we break here, Colfax, and it's Rams related. If the Colorado State Rams don't win the NIT, not just tonight, but the whole thing, does that diminish their accomplishments this season? 52% of the hooligans saying yes, it does diminish their accomplishments. And here's what I say. Some of you say no, 47%, it's a tight race. Their accomplishments this year were that they won their most conference games or whatever in the season. You know, and they had a real shot to win the regular season title, a real shot to do something in the Mountain West. They had a real shot to go to March Madness. A real shot. They didn't do any of those things. So what was the next step? Go win the NIT? Is there pressure on that? I think there's pressure, not necessarily just on Colorado State, but on pressure on the conference. Because San Diego State was supposed, you know, they go up against what, Syracuse? San Diego State lost by like 20 in the first round. Utah State lost by 12 or so. So your two Mountain West teams, both for the most part, kind of get it handed to them in the first round. So, yeah, I think that you need to, if you're CSU, this is a big one for you. I don't necessarily think it diminishes your accomplishments, but it just kind of ends a fun, really historic type season. Kind of like when you let the air out of a balloon. You know, just, oh. And that's how it feels anyway. But I think that would feel even more so, especially if they lose tonight, which they are underdogs tonight to the Wolfpack, NC State Wolfpack. The Rams are a 1.5-point dog tonight, ESPN 5 o'clock. 19 minutes after the hour, we're going to see if we can catch up with Chris Dempsey in just a moment. He may be tied up because we are an NBA trade deadline, but we're going to see. 19 minutes after the hour, Thursday Night Special still to come. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't go anywhere.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nuggets fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
24 minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. I am surprised by this. The man, the myth, the legend, one of the busiest guys around, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. I didn't think we were going to get him today, but we got to try. We made the phone call. Chris, my man, we got you. We're not letting go, my friend.
That's right. You got me. Absolutely. On a very exciting day.
It is, man. An exciting day. Bittersweet, of course. We're talking Gary Harris and, well, new up-and-comer RJ Hampton. But, I mean, you look at what the Nuggets got in this. I was pretty pumped just with the JaVale McGee signing, to be real honest with you, Chris.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think if you're an NBA team that wants to be a contender, first question you have to ask yourself is, are we as good as the Lakers? Like, can we beat the Lakers? And if that answer is no, what is it that is going to help us get closer to that goal? And for the Nuggets, it was definitely defense at the rim, and size overall, and then defense on the perimeter as well. And so let's just start with JaVale McGee. That's where you started. You know, what he is going to do is obviously shore up the backup center. I mean, I think we've talked about it on this program. Like, what are they going to do at backup center? And, you know, they have been mixing and matching stuff. I mean, Isaiah Hartenstein was obviously the linear answer to that because he played center. But also they put JaMychal Green in as center and some small ball lineups and Paul Millsap at center and some small ball lineups. And we've even seen, I think, Zeke Nnaji have a few possessions there as well. So, you know, they were trying anything and everything to, you know, to find a solution to that issue. And, you know, ultimately what they figured is they needed to go outside the organization for that. And so JaVale McGee is a player, obviously, that we're all familiar with around here. We, you know, he had, you know, quite honestly, he had his coming out party with the Denver Nuggets. I mean, that was, he blocked all the shots, made all the dunks, and then translated that into a big contract before, obviously, he left town. So, yeah, I mean, that was a subtle, nice signing to be able to shore up an area of need, which the Nuggets did that.
I think you're exactly right. That was his coming out party, and you know, people talked about his basketball IQ and stuff. But after the fact that he was with the Nuggets, I mean, I think that just continued to rise. I mean, he became more used to the NBA game as a whole, and he became an important piece to those Golden State teams, to those Lakers teams. So, you know, bringing that in, and he still has that athleticism. So I'm excited for that. Obviously, Chris, the big news: Aaron Gordon. His name was in the rumor mill for a while, at least for the Nuggets, and Denver figured it out at a cost to move on from a Nuggets fan favorite in Gary Harris. But still, like we said, like you said, they got better defensively for sure. And here's Aaron Gordon. What is he averaging? About 14 points per game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Very athletic player, 6'9", can play the 3 and the 4, and has done so almost basically split time between those two positions over the course of his whole career. You know, obviously the issue with Gary Harris was availability. You know, it was never a question of his you know, ability out there on the basketball court. But he was not available. And outside of that game that he played against the Washington Wizards, well, that was the one game he played maybe in the last couple of months. And so it's been tough for him to with the injury bug and to be able to stay on the court in the way that he wants to show up on the court. And you know, for the Nuggets, you know, we've also talked about this, to get something, you have to give up something. And yes, he has been, we've watched Gary Harris grow up here. I mean, you know, he was part of that trade, the Doug McDermott trade that brought him and Yusuf Nurkic here to the Denver Nuggets. And we watched him grow and blossom and become a really, really good player in this league. And so for the Nuggets, yeah, you're giving up a good defensive player to get one. And, you know, I think the way they look at it is they needed to try to approximate Jeremy Grant again, and this gives them their closest ability to being able to do that.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, I know we're going to let you go here in just a few moments. This move, though, yeah, I know Nuggets fans outside of Gary Harris bummed about the RJ Hampton side, you know, with the future portion of that. But isn't this a move, Chris, that you see by teams that think they're on the verge? You just said it. Can we beat the Lakers? If the answer is no, we got work to do. Was this a championship caliber move by the Nuggets?
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely made with the intent of, okay, there's this team out here that we all have to contend with. And the Nuggets know, boy, as well as anybody, exists exactly what they're facing, where they just played this team in the Western Conference Finals. So, you know, in that respect, you just have to take a good hard look at yourself and ask yourself, are you good enough? And then ask yourself, if we're not good enough, what's going to make us good enough? And so I think that's what they did here today. And I tweeted this. I said, you know, this really does put them on that short list of legit contenders for the NBA title or to get to the NBA Finals. And I believe that. I mean, you know, the thing that the Lakers really do have more than anybody else is, you know, obviously outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis's size and defense. I mean, they can lock you up and they can put big players on the court. I mean, energetic players on the court. And so how are you dealing with Anthony Davis and Montrezl Harrell and in Marc Gasol and obviously LeBron? You know, I mean, you know, what are you doing to combat that? And so the Nuggets' answer to that right now is, okay, we're going to get somebody up the rim that we can bring in, especially in these situations when Jokic is off the court, and see teams kind of feel free to get right to the rim on the Nuggets. They're not going to be able to do that in any kind of an appreciable way anymore. And then on the perimeter, can you guard LeBron? Can you guard Kawhi and Paul George? Can you guard, the Utah's perimeter guys and Phoenix's perimeter guys? And, you know, the more you're able to do that, the more you're able to be able to switch and be able to hold up in those situations or just defend one-on-one in those situations, the better off you'll be. And so I think the Nuggets understand that defensively, that, you know, offensively, they're awesome. It's defensively, they just need to continue to get better. And I think it was, you know, it's a personnel more than scheme. And so they address the personnel.
Chris, last one for you. What do you think that starting lineup looks like at this stage then?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I don't think they're going to plug him right into the starting lineup right away, but eventually Aaron Gordon might get there. And the question is, if he does, then where would that be? And maybe it's just going to be at the four. But if you do that, you're basically saying to either Paul Millsap and Jermichael Green, one of you two isn't playing. And given the performance level of those two players, you're basically saying to Paul Millsap, we'll probably sit you down until, you know, we need you, you know, maybe in an emergency break glass situation. So unless you want to play him at the three, you could play him at the reserve three behind Michael Porter Jr. It's been a lot of years since Aaron Gordon has played off the bench, so I'm sure he might not be amenable to that. But then maybe he might be. I mean, just you come to a situation where you're winning a better situation, and maybe you're just going to do whatever's asked of you. So I think for the foreseeable future, for the first, at least for a week or so, we're going to see the exact same starting lineup that the Nuggets have rolled out there, which is Murray, Barton, MPJ, Millsap, and Jokic. And then as they continue to integrate Aaron Gordon into the process and understand where he fits best, we might see him get into that starting lineup as well, or we might see him do something different. I think the one good thing about him, and quite frankly about a lot of their players, is they're so interchangeable. They're so versatile, I should say. You could play them in a lot of different places. But for the foreseeable future, same starting lineup, and then later on we'll probably start to see Aaron Gordon maybe slotted in there at the four.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting either way, Chris. I think it's a big day for Nuggets fans, for this Denver Nuggets organization. We know you got to go, man. Appreciate your time as always. We'll catch you up next week.
All right, sounds good, man. See ya.
All right, Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV. Colfax, there it is. Maybe they work him in a little bit, Aaron Gordon, and leave Paul Millsap, but does that ultimately mean Millsap's going to kind of fade back? Because then you have to make that decision between Paul Millsap and Jermichael Green, who's certainly not that. We thought Green might be that replacement, you know, earlier for honestly, I thought Jermichael Green would be a lot better at this stage in time, but he just, Jeremy Grant has, you know, he's a hell of a player, and he got really good as the season progressed, and Green just has not lived up to that. So the Nuggets got active. the things they wanted to see weren't moving fast enough. Their defense was not progressing. It wasn't really getting any better. These are defensive moves, folks. Aaron Gordon's going to play defense. JaVale McGee, not a lot of guys are going to drive down there, you know, willy-nilly with a lot of confidence when JaVale McGee's in there. He's going to swat a lot of basketball away, and he's got that, just the presence, just the thought that he could do it. So Nuggets got better today, and I really believe that. 35 minutes after the hour, Thursday night special coming up next. I'll recap more of the Nuggets' busy day. Is it done? Also, silence over Deshaun Watson, the story that's, I mean, pretty impactful for Broncos fans, pretty impactful for Houston fans, and NFL fans. Where is this story? Why isn't it, I mean, top five stories every day? We don't see it that often. I'm very curious. 14 cases, 14 women have come forward saying Deshaun Watson sexually assaulted him in some fashion, and it's not all over the news. And I'm a bit flabbergasted by this. All right, 35 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here real fast, get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
So good to me. Thursday evening, it was all I picked it to be. Oh, Thursday evening, could you guarantee that Friday morning my pig would still be here with me?
It's hard to go from that, you know, just regular singing, to hit those high notes like that. I've always been very jealous of that, Colfax, for very long. I've never told you that. The way you can hit that note is, it's pretty admirable. It's pretty special, to be quite frank with you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from. I think it's just an innate talent.
Yeah, some people just have it.
Yeah.
Some people just have it, and you can't teach it. No. You know, there's a lot of singers out there that just, like, Johnny Cash never had it. He just was good. He didn't have it, though. You have it, my friend.
You think I have it over Johnny Cash? Okay.
You like the it factor. I don't know if you're writing a bit. That was pretty good writing. But he was a good writer, and just the songs like were haunting, and just they were amazing.
Right.
He's a deep voice, but he couldn't get up there. He right. couldn't climb.
That's very true.
He couldn't climb. Lady Gaga, climb. You climb like Lady Gaga.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
That's the first time you'll ever hear me say yeah. Lady Gaga's better at something than Johnny Cash, by the way.
Okay.
It's true, but yeah. On that stage.
On that.
But you got it. You got it.
I got it.
You're there. All right, back to this, Colfax. I mean, very modest about it, too, which is also why I think you're going to go to the top. The NC State Wolfpack going up against the Colorado State Rams tonight. I love NC State's logo, by the way. Because it just looks like the Wolf's like wearing a little top hat. A little top hat or something there. It's adorable. They're favored tonight. NC's favored tonight over the Rams. Now, I don't care about the NIT. I don't care about the CBI. I don't care about the CBS, CIT, Criminal Crime Scene Investigation Tournament. I don't care about it. I just don't. And I love local teams. We do, but it just doesn't mean anything to me. This is a bowl game. It's essentially a bowl game. It's the Cream Torritos bowl game. I don't even know what that is. I'm just making up snacks today. You see it, though? The Wolfpack? You see the little... What is that? A little top hat?
Is it like a Navy-type hat?
Is that a top... Yeah, it could be.
It's hard to tell. Or is it a dog bowl? I can't tell. No disrespect. I can't tell what it is.
No disrespect. I mean, we've never been disrespectful on this show, ever. But I mean, I certainly wouldn't, seriously, in all seriousness, wouldn't disrespect the military. So if that's what it is, okay. But it's funny. It's funny looking. It looks like his jaw's kind of dislocated a little bit there. It's not a great logo.
Not a good one.
Does it look like a wolf?
It looks like a fluffy wolf.
It looks like the wolf in the show's, the little, Three Little Piggies.
Yes.
The wolf that's going to blow down the...
Huffs and Puffs.
That's what I'm not scared of that. And because of that... I'm going with the Rams to win and cover tonight.
Yes. Yeah, but.
Yes. Yes.
Woke up in Fort Collins.
Oh.
Tanjay takes the three. He hit it. And he's fouled.
Down.
Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable.
I'm in a Colorado.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Can we get him to record one of, not to take any of your thunder?
Hey there, friends. Glad you're all on board for a rambunctious week.
There's Thomas's three. Got it. I told
Busby.
You. He's a good one.
My horns have to be tough. Because
Busby.
We male sheep use them to keep other rams out of our territory.
What a finish! Thistlewood with the jam.
Colorado.
Remember that?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
That was great. That was right when COVID.
Yeah. That's you, run, home run.
Jenny Kavnar. She's one of the good ones from Colorado State. She's doing a fantastic job. That was great. Steve Addazio and his coaching staff saying that last year when COVID hit, right?
That's correct.
And they were like, hey, we're bummed that we're not in Fort Collins and stuff. It was weird. Not sure how I felt about it at the time, but that's actually, he's not bad.
He's a good singer.
He's not bad.
Compared to every other coach on that.
Oh, they were all bad. The further you went into it, it was pretty bogus. Yeah. It was pretty bad. Now, I'm going with the Rams tonight. I do think the Rams win this tournament. I do think there's a little pressure on them to win this tournament. I think, I'm not trying to take anything away. You know I love Nico Medved. But listen, one of the things I've learned about this business, Colfax, is that, listen, I'm looking around Twitter all day. And I got a bunch of reporters, you know, that are like, oh, Gary's gone. I bought my first jersey of him and all this stuff. You can love a player without being a diehard fan here. You don't need to be a diehard fan. You're reporting on these guys. This Gary Harris move had to happen. And as far as tonight going with CSU, I think you have to win. I think you need to earn something here. The Mountain West got booted out in the first round of March Madness. It's time to, you want some respect? The Rams fans that are voting, let me look at this. Let me look at this crap. Whole show, I'm getting a little fired up. Wholeshow.com, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is, do you think this diminishes CSU's accomplishments this season? 47% say no, it doesn't diminish it. Okay, that 47%, sit down. Let me talk to you a little bit. Those of you that complained and cried and moaned about the Rams not getting into March Madness and the Mountain West not getting any respect, what did we say before the tournament, before the Mountain West tournament? The Rams got to beat Nevada. If they don't do that, they got to win the tournament. Okay, they didn't do that. All right, what did we say about the Mountain West Conference in March Madness in order for them to start receiving some respect? Don't San Diego State and Utah State, don't they got to at least get out of the first round? Don't they got to make this thing interesting, advance a little bit? And what happened? None of those things happened. So stop complaining about the Mountain West Conference not earning any respect until you win some damn games. This is the NIT. The nobody is thrilled about this tournament. But you got to win it. You got in. Go for it. Win the stupid thing and earn some respect. I don't like secondary tournaments. There's 68 teams that go to March Madness. That's not enough. We need more. But it's there for Colorado State. And I'm cool with that. Take it while you can. I'm not going to say, hey, this is a huge... UNC won one of them, what was it, the CIT? And it was cool because they got in and won it. That's neat. But that's not my goal for this team. That's not my goal for greatness. I want greatness for UNC. I want greatness for CSU and CU and the Nuggets making championship moves today. I want greatness. We're not going to talk about Gary Harris anymore. Sorry, I love him, but we're done. It's time to go on and try to win a championship. And it's the Mountain West Conference. If you want respect, this is your only shot for the rest of the year until next year. So go grab it. Let's go, Colorado State. 49 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show on the other side with what's on TV as well as closing thoughts for a jam-packed Thursday. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Volleyball and baseball coming to a Preps broadcast near you on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. All right, here's what we know. Here's what we know, Colfax. No Lonzo Ball trade. Sources tell ESPN he's staying in Nollins. It's New Orleans, for those of you that don't know what I just said. Woj posting on Twitter, Houston is trading Victor Oladipo to Miami. Sources just tell ESPN. And the Raptors are keeping Kyle Lowry. I thought he was done. I thought he was done after that game last night. The Hawks are trading Rondo to the Clippers. For Lou Williams, Rondo's going to the dark side, huh? How about that? Man, this is crazy. We're going to get Harrison Wind on from DNVR Nuggets tomorrow on a Friday, and we'll talk all things Nuggets, all things NBA. Did the Nuggets truly get better? I believe so. Pressure on the Rams to win tonight. I think for the conference there's pressure. Does it diminish what they've done all season? No, it doesn't. But it would kind of fade. It would be a fading type ending if they don't win, at least tonight. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.